I'm Electra.
And I'm Miranda. And we're Say Lulu.
We've got Sydney. We've got Sweden. We've got Kitsune Records, fashion label. We've got SoundCloud. We will get to the other issues with record labels. And now, in the middle of all of that, we covered all the basic stuff. 2012, it took the album a million years to come out, which means you're basically 64 years old.
Yeah. Exactly. People rarely draw the connection between our star sign and us being twins. We're Geminis.
That's interesting.
I find that quite interesting.
No, but what would that...
the first 5 minutes that I often...
And you would think as twins, because if you weren't twins, it would be like, so what's your sign? And that would be kind of like,
No, like, but on the other hand, like when we meet people, like within the first 10 minutes, we usually ask people what their star sign is. Because we find that quite interesting.
People don't usually
ask us, and people don't usually ask anyone.
Okay, wait. So ready? I have a question for you. What's your star sign? Oh, wait, we already know. So tell me about how Gemini relates, because the two of you being Geminis and working together as much as you do has got to be interesting in and of itself.
To me, or to us, what we have gathered about the Gemini and ourselves being Gemini females is that I think Geminis are...
It's an air sign.
We're an air sign. So we're quite... I think what we're good at is sort of adapting to situations and you can say the Gemini is two-faced, but I wouldn't necessarily say that's a bad thing. I'll say that you have the possibility of adapting,
and
chameleon, you're a social chameleon,
and you love
Geminis are very social and like to be in the center of attention in a lot of different situations, and like making new friends and finding myself in new situations. And we also love showbiz and other creative people. We have a tendency to be a bit confused and a bit like all over the place.
Sometimes we're up in the air and have a hard time finding our feet on the ground.
You had a manager, you went through whatever you went through, you signed to a big label. Where was the moment? Now, this is really going to be dirty. Who paid for the record? Who actually made the record that never got released by the major label?
The record that is now, most of the songs on the record were written before we even signed with a label.
Ah, okay.
They paid for the production of maybe 2/3 of the tracks.
Okay.
But they didn't want to put those tracks on the record. They wanted other tracks on the record. That they paid for. And that's the dispute. So it wasn't like the record never came out and we wrote a whole new one. It was just like the dispute was
what kind of record should we make?
And what's going to make it onto the record? That was the dispute.
At the moment where you come to this situation where you're artists, but you're young, and that's not an insult. That's just, this can happen to an older person. And you go, wait a minute. This is, we've put these singles out and we've kind of built our career. And now you've signed us. We're the artists. You're now telling us what our opinion is and what we know. Where was that moment where you just looked at each other and said, we're going to be giving up possible billions of dollars from the major label and the big machine behind it. And this label has a big machine. Where was that moment where you were in a meeting or you were talking to somebody and said, we're going to take our chances here. We're going to roll the dice and we're going to do this ourselves, albeit with a good team.
I wouldn't say there was a moment they weren't feeling that we were doing what they wanted us to do. And we were really unhappy. So when, our manager went into a meeting with, the heads of Columbia, we all knew what the outcome was going to be. We had prepared for that moment, and the thing for us was more that we wanted to get all our material back. That was like our main thing, to get all the material back.
Okay, so let's go down that road, because I know this road really, really well.
And a lot of our friends have left their labels, but then
I'm going to be really evil. Did you sign a deal that you didn't give up your publishing and you were okay to get that stuff
back? We got everything back.
You did?
Yeah. They were nice to us.
Fantastic.
They wanted things to go well.
By the way, I wish the audience, if we did video and we saw that, the audience could have seen your smirk right after the word, we got everything back. That smirk was gorgeous.
Yeah, no, we're so lucky. But thankfully enough, we always had a good relationship with them on a private and personal level. And we had mutual respect for one another. And therefore, when we went our separate ways, they wanted things to go well for us. And we wanted, you know, we didn't want, there were actually no hard feelings.
Wow.
So I don't feel hard feelings because I think they're all like nice people. It's just, it's a big machinery and they're all working for someone who at the end of the day wants to make money, and that's where the problem lies. Like,
okay, so you say bye-bye label and you say we're going to put it out ourselves. Tell me the real definition of putting it out yourself. Who did you work with to put it out yourself? So it's not like you woke up and said, oh, we'll press some CDs.
No, putting it out ourselves to us meant that because we had an imprint under Columbia called Adur. It's coming out through Adur, and we're licensing it to different partners and servicing it through different sort of machinery. So basically, we have a Swedish or Scandinavian indie label called Cosmos Music, and they put our music out or service our music in Scandinavia. And through them and The Orchard, they service our music and do all marketing and PR.
The difference between, say, Electrify and other things on that record, it sounds like you, but the great thing about this record is nobody can put it in a corner and go, oh, it's kind of top 40 pop based, or oh, wait a minute, they're trying to sound like the Cranberries, or oh, they're trying to... That was by design, wasn't it? Because, it's all characterized as pop these days. But
yeah, everything's pop.
But my definition of pop is not everybody else's definition.
No, not
I think
of pop.
I think at the end of the day, pop is everything. Like, everything is pop. Jazz is pop. R&B is pop. I have a hard time thinking about our music in terms of, like, genres. And people always want you to say a genre, and then you make up a funny genre for your music. But I just see it in terms of, like, each, like, its own little chapter, its own little thing, and inspired by array of different things and array of different emotions, and that's it. It's like kind of every song is like its own genre, but then you want it to all have a red thread and to feel like it's cohesive, and that's what an album is.
There's two things that are really interesting. Number one, what percentage of your fans do you think even know? Because, I mean, there's always the question, so you grew up and, you know, and your parents were musicians and blah, 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 but that's not really what's interesting for me. You're going out there tonight, and these people, you know, some of them are really young, and some of them actually probably idolize some of that music. How many of them do you think put two and two together, and does it even matter?
I think a very small percentage of our fan base are the church fans. I do, however, think that a lot of people that show up at the gigs have had... like or church fans. It's a difference.
I think no.
They don't show up at the gigs because they're church fans, but somehow it's gotten into it's in
I
their
think
head.
The, I think the
so
church
iconic.
Have a kind of a cult following in America in America in one way, like a small people that remember them. I think there's a group of people our age who also listen to the church and listen to Echo and the Bunnymen and all of that stuff. Yep. So I think there is a big amount of people who know who they are. But I don't think that's the reason that they like us. I think
it shouldn't be.
And I think there are lots of people who know who they are because some people who are more interested in music would know who they are. I think people that show up at our gigs are 90% people that just like us and don't know. And then there are 10% that are like either our dad's old fans or dad's friends or someone who read on his website that he had daughters playing.
What, as you're going to move forward in your career doing this, and you've chosen the family business, right? Now, you know that the family business is fraught with all sorts of things that are really wonderful and all sorts of things that are really dark. So as you look forward at all of that, is there anything that you're taking with you as you're touring and going through all of this that really kind of resonates with you kind of in a big way overall? Do you ever talk about it or think about it?
One thing that we have just tried to focus on, especially since last year and breaking up with the label and everything, has been that us being happy and us feeling content and feeling good about ourselves is like the key to even continuing this project. For ages we were really depressed and sad and cornered and felt really uncreative and in every type of way, and that was like, and you can't go through living your life that way. I'd rather do something completely different and be happy rather than keeping on doing something that makes me feel, but on the other hand, being without music would probably make me really unhappy too. But So I think that's bringing with me, and bringing with me something from our childhood, is that you have to really make sure that you give your family and your loved ones time and love and energy, because when you come home, they're the people that you're expecting to look after you and to care for you. And if you I don't know, I think that's what I have.
What do you have? No, just looking after yourself, because like you said before, I feel like we're 64 years old after spending like 3 years in the music industry, and I feel like it's true, like 1 year ages you mentally. Like, I feel like I can't even remember what it was like back then when we started, and it's only been 3 years. So in 10 years time, we're going to be hundreds and hundreds of years old mentally. And I feel like I want to take care of myself, take care of ourselves, and take care of our psyches, and
take care of the project, and not rash, and not to try to make, because we have been rash in the past. Like when you're just starting out, you're really too eager. And you want to jump on every opportunity.
You want it all right now.
Yeah, you want everything. You want everything to happen. And I think it's the project suffers from making really rash decisions, and it also suffers from making short-term decisions. And I think it really benefits from having a long-term plan, and also investing in the people around you, like investing in your live band and really giving them love and encouragement, because they're the people that are, you know, with you everywhere, and your management and people that you work with, because they're like, you know, such a big part of the
just keeping everyone around you content
and happy, and
making them feel like they're seen. Yeah.
That's hard work. And you've actually been quoted multiple times as saying that this record is about the conclusion of your teenage years. So that kind of falls into exactly what you said, is you've poured all of the things that have happened into the songs, which kind of sets you free, right? Yeah. Because and it sets you free in multiple ways, because this record has been in the waiting. Now it's finally out. Now you can perform it, and then you can get on with all the other fun stuff. But isn't it funny? Well, it's not funny, but it's just so amazing that life's gone this way for you, right? It's kind of fallen into place, not the way you probably wanted it to, but it's kind of like you don't get that choice.
Never,
right?
Life never turns out the way you want it to. I guess I'm feeling very content with the way things have turned out, because, I mean, we're like the luckiest people around to be able to do this for a living and be able to play our music.
That's how I feel.
Like you said, pouring all of our emotions and all of our, you know, our lives up until 20 into the record, and then having it out sets you free, and now we can start writing about something else. It's about a new part of our lives, like the future. I think since we were little, our mom always said that we were very melodramatic as like 3-4 year olds. We used to love watching adult like love movies and watching operas, and we loved talking about love and passion, and we were always, you know, I think somehow we've always romanticized all the heartache that comes with, you know, being in a romantic relationship. And for us, you know, growing up, like any girls or young girls or boys, there's always going to be a point in time when you're in a relationship, or when you like someone that doesn't like you back, or vice versa. And even though 100 people throughout time have written about it over and over and over again, for us it just doesn't get old. I think there's endless ways of talking about unreciprocated love.
But a woman saving a man is empowering in a really lovely way, isn't it?
I think that's one way of doing it. And I of course, like, Electra and I are like outspoken feminists, but I think we try to live it and put it into our music, and write about it through the way how we portray men and women. And I think what we try not to do so often is victimize ourselves in a situation. But with Hard for Man, I think we're half joking, half being serious, because there are men that you have met, or we have met, that are really torn up and sort of hung up on old past relationships, and you just feel like that you want them to just let go and just, like, you know, dive into your arms. But then there's also the thing of, you know, guys being being mistreated once, and then always, then forever mistreating women. That's what, my mom was mean to me when I was a kid, and now I can't trust women, and all that stuff. It's just a load of bullshit. I think what's gonna make it for us is just doing our things might never break for us in the way that, you know, people that want it to. I think what will, you know, be the best thing for the band is if you make another album, make a really good solid record, and keep doing it, and keep coming out to play, keep coming out to meet people, and just keep doing our thing. Because I think that's the, at the end of the day, I think if we start trying, which will happen, we were at the label trying so desperately to write a song that would fit so good on the radio, but then you hear on the radio is everything from A to Z, and there's so much shit and so much horrible things on the radio, so much good things on the radio, and it's, nothing is the same. There's rock, there's jazz, there's R&B, there's pop, and like I think you just have to be yourself and write something that feels comes from the heart, and write something that you feel makes us feel good, and then other people might like
it. So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else in between.